The Old Testament reading for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 56th chapter. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Three men are standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and one of them walks over to the edge, leans forward, and falls over the edge, only to come floating back up and stand right where he had been. The second guy looks at him and is just amazed, and he says, How do you do that? He says, Well, it's simple. You just put your arms out, count to three, and the updraft will carry you. And he does it again. And the second man goes, That's amazing. How do you do that? He says, Just give it a try. It's a breeze. Anyone can do it. So the second man walks over to the edge, leans over, and falls tumbling all the way to the bottom, hitting his head on every single rock and cactus imaginable. And the first man just laughs and laughs and laughs. And then the third man turns and looks to him and says, You know what? You can be a real jerk sometimes, Superman. That is kind of the impression we get from this account in our gospel reading today, isn't it? I mean, here's Jesus with all this power, all this might. He could easily solve this woman's problems as she cries out to him. Her daughter is oppressed by a demon. But he almost seems to be abusing his power, kind of holding it just out of her reach, saying, Come on, come on. Oh, you almost had it there. Jump a little bit higher. I mean, you hate to think something so disparaging of our Lord and Savior, but at a glance, it looks like Jesus is kind of being a jerk here, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus obviously hears this woman's cry for mercy, and he flat out ignores her. He answers her not a word. And then the disciples come to him and say, oh, come on, just give her something to make her go away. She's loud and obnoxious. Do something about it. And what does Jesus seem to tell them? Hey, she's a Canaanite. I'm the Savior of Israel. It's not my problem. And then when the woman forces the issue by running up and kneeling before him, blocking his path, begging for her daughter to be healed, what does Jesus do? He calls her a dog. He basically says, at least it seems, I'm too good to go wasting any of my time or talents on you, silly woman. And then, after all that, he actually does give her what she wanted, which is good for her, but it just makes the rest of this whole ordeal look that much more mean-spirited. Almost like Jesus kind of laughs and goes, nah, I'm just kidding with you. Bam, she's healed. Oh, who's the man? I mean, face it. If one of our friends treated us this way, we'd be miffed. We probably wouldn't return their phone calls for a few weeks. And while we know that everything Jesus does is good and right and perfect, when we read this account, honestly, we scratch our heads and we ask ourselves, what's Jesus doing here? You know, maybe Jesus is just having a day of the grumpies. I mean, we all have those kind of days, don't we? When everything just gets to be too much, we aren't really ourselves, we snap out at people, we say things that we regret later on. The stress of the day gets to us, and we're just not acting the way that people expect. And if other people saw us on that day, they might think the same thing and say, what in the world is Pastor doing? Think about it. I mean, all these crowds all the time demanding miracles and healings from Jesus, him dealing with sinners and disciples who just don't get it, even though he is very clear about everything that he is saying. Let's be honest, I'd crack under that kind of pressure. And it seems like he's going against his own word that we heard in the Old Testament reading, where God says, love the foreigner, welcome the one who comes in true faith. And so it seems like he's just not himself this day. But God cannot contradict himself, and does not. And God is eternally patient. I mean, he put up with mankind's sin, disobedience, and filth for thousands of years. While he walked the earth, he was constantly dealing with the ignorance and sin and deeply frustrating actions of his disciples and all the crowds around him, the Pharisees who challenged him, the royalty that hated him. As he was being crucified, he cried out not for vengeance, but for God to forgive his killers. So no, this woman is not the straw that broke the camel's back on that day when Jesus finally snaps and goes, I just can't take it anymore. So what is Jesus doing? Is Jesus maybe giving us a taste of our own medicine? Is he maybe teaching us a lesson, showing us how it feels to be like him? I mean, we ignore Jesus so often. Maybe he's showing us what it feels like. Maybe he's thinking in his head, oh, so, Miss Canaanite, now that your daughter's sick, all of a sudden you've got time to come to me, huh? Oh, hey, now that there's a tragedy in your life, suddenly you're in church every Sunday, huh? Well, too late, Paco. We're not playing that game anymore. You might think Jesus is thinking, if you can't be bothered to listen to me through the good times, why should I bother listening to you now that you have something you need of me? And again, let's be honest, we would certainly deserve that. Every single one of us has ignored God's word. Every single one of us has put our own selfish desires ahead of his word, and we have turned a deaf ear on his calls to repentance. But the fact is, God is eternally merciful as well as patient. He is not petty and vindictive like we are, and like so many of the man-made false gods are. Despite how often we ignore him, when we turn to God in faith, he rejoices. He welcomes us back as sons and daughters and gives us the full measure of his love and forgiveness. So no, Jesus is not giving us a taste of our own medicine here as he turns a deaf ear to this woman and pretends that he's not going to do anything about it. So take us back to the original question. What is Jesus doing here? Is Jesus testing her faith? Now that's what we normally hear, that this was a test for the woman, that he was going to heal her all along, but he pretended not to, to see if she would actually persevere. And had she quit asking just 30 seconds before Jesus responded, do you think Jesus would have thought, oh man, you were so close to getting the grand prize, but hey, too bad, so sad. That's not what's going on. Jesus is all-knowing. And so there was no need to test her faith and prove that it was actually real. So why? Why does Jesus act the way that he does? What is Jesus doing here? Well, what Jesus is doing is exactly what was needed. Exactly what was the best thing possible, even if we don't understand it and can't entirely explain it. He was doing what he always does, the absolute best for the woman, for her daughter, for his disciples, for the crowd, and even for us as we read about this account thousands of years later. Just as he does every single time, in every single circumstance. Through this trial, this woman's faith was both strengthened and it was proclaimed. You know, I would almost guarantee you that the woman had that moment of thinking, this is not going the way that I thought it would. Do I just give up? Or do I really believe that Jesus can and will do this and keep persisting? And then she sees that her faith is not in vain. She remembers the promises of God to help those who look to him in faith, and knows that Jesus is the answer to her prayers. And how about the disciples? The disciples who were maybe thinking a little bit too much of their bloodline, of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they get to see what real faith is and what it can accomplish, as this woman who knows she deserves nothing from God continues to beg and knows and trusts that she will receive what is best. How about the crowds? Many of whom maybe believed, maybe didn't really even care and had just come along hoping to see a miracle. What they saw was real faith on display. They saw real faith that clung to God's word and his promises, even in the face of opposition, even when it seemed like those promises maybe weren't actually real. This woman continued to hold on and proclaimed to those crowds that faith in God is worth it. And even for us today, we greatly benefit from this incident when we actually think it through, when we see what it is that Jesus is really doing. When we ourselves endure trial with real faith, we are strengthened as God brings us through, and we strengthen others as they witness our faith in the midst of crisis, as we don't just crumble and say, oh, woe is me, the world is against me, and God can't help me, but rather stand firm and say, even if I lose everything, I trust in the word of the Lord. We ourselves see that Jesus isn't always going to give us exactly what we want when we want it, but rather he will always be with us, and he will give us what we truly need. Maybe we do need a miracle, and he is going to give us exactly that. Maybe we need a time of silence and contemplation while he does nothing and we realize how dire our situation is and how the world can't help us. Maybe we need death to be set free from this veil of sin and tears, even if that's not what we want. But no matter how Jesus responds, we know that whatever earthly blessings we may or may not receive, we do receive the one thing that we can get from nowhere else, the forgiveness of all of our sins. For that, There are no hoops to jump through, no tests, no trials to endure, nothing to decode or figure out. In fact, it doesn't even depend on how much we ask for it or how strong our faith might be. All those who look to Jesus Christ in faith are saved and cleansed. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He has paid the price of our sin in full. No games, no tricks, nothing left to do. We simply hear His word and believe, and we know that we are saved. There's no right number of times that we have to ask. There's no special prayer that we have to say just right. There's no particular ancestry that we have to prove. God's word assures us that no matter how it might look, no matter how the world might mock our faith, no matter how it might seem that He is doing nothing, no matter how deep and wretched our sin is, He hears our prayers and He forgives us of every wrong that we have done. Even though we are lower than dogs, even though we deserve to be ignored, even though we deserve absolutely nothing good at all, we are given not just the crumbs that fall from our Master's table, but the full feast of God's love and mercy and forgiveness. Do you know why Jesus humbled Himself to be born into our flesh and to walk this earth? It was for you. Do you know why Jesus allowed Himself to suffer the pain and humiliation of the cross? It was to pay the price of your sin. Do you know why Jesus gave Himself over completely to death? It was so that you wouldn't ever have to face eternal death. Do you know why Jesus rose again from the grave? It was so that you could be with Him forever in the paradise of heaven. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but as He did so, He had you individually in mind. Everything that Jesus did, He did out of love for you. He loves you that much. Just because He doesn't automatically hand you everything that you ask for doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. It simply means that as great as your request might sound to you, Jesus knows even better than you do what you and all those around you truly need. And out of love, that is what He promises to give you. And no matter what He may or may not give you in terms of earthly rewards or granting of earthly petitions, He gives you the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of your soul, as you are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. The woman who cried out for mercy, the disciples, the crowd, even we ourselves, we look at this account and we can't figure out why Jesus did things the way that He did. In fact, the same can be said of just about any incident in our own lives when things don't go the way that we thought they should. We ask ourselves, just what is Jesus doing here? But no matter what might be happening, no matter how wrong things might seem, by faith, we can trust in the mercy and power of our Lord. We can know without a doubt that even though we might not understand it, God is doing all things for our good, for the good of the church, for the good of all those around us. And even if Jesus doesn't do things exactly the way that we think He should, still we give thanks because His ways are far, far better than ours. And though He is superior to us in every possible way, He still loves us, still pours His bountiful blessings into our lives, still fills us with His mercy and grace and forgiveness every single day. As His beloved children, we get not just the scraps, but the entire feast, the full measure of God's heavenly riches. We are given His very kingdom. We are given His robe of righteousness. We are given His perfection and holiness as we are cleansed of our sin. In every circumstance, we can rejoice, whether we understand what it is that Jesus is doing or not. Because out of a love that we will never understand, Jesus suffered and died for you. He rose again from the grave for you, and He has made you His own. By His cross, By his empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.